what is truth. You're talking but what you're saying. Truth. Whoever hears my voice is hearing truth. You can't handle the truth. It's time for What Is Truth with your host, Dr. Weech. Let's go. Let's get it. Are you ready? Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? You're tuned in to What Is Truth. I'm your host, Dr. Weech, and I want to thank you for tuning in. We got a lot we want to talk about today. It's a whole lot we want to talk about today with respect to the Aragona decision. There's been a lot of blowback with respect to the decision. And when you have the former president of the United States, George W. Bush, saying, making comments saying it doesn't make sense, you know it was an issue. But nevertheless, we got a lot we want to talk about. I want to always invite you to check out the social medias. Please follow the website. Look at my page. If you miss any of these episodes, you can check the podcast. And we're now videotaping these episodes. So if you want to check those out, you can go to our TV channel, our video channel, to check out the airing of this particular program. Again, I do encourage you, if you have any comments, please text them in at 321-345-WGGF, 321-345-9443. Definitely want you to give us your comments and let us know what you're thinking in real time. You can also participate with us on the chat room, on the chat line. The chat room is available right there on the player. But nevertheless, we got a lot we want to talk about with respect to the Aragona decision. We have multiple protests, a lot of people protesting what's going on. I'm going to see if I can get into the Obamacare and some other things of which we're seeing due process being broken down and not working. Because I think when you start not following the rules of law at the top level, you're going to get some trickling down. So let's talk about what's happening with respect to the Aragona situation. I've been listening to some commentary from the extremely right wing, I believe. For the most part, I consider myself a conservative. I don't want to say liberal, but I'm maybe a moderate conservative, if we can even say that, or maybe a tad above. But I think the issue here is not black and white. I believe what happened is a travesty of justice, and so closely following behind the Mike Brown situation. So I think this is what is a problem here. Now, if you haven't been tuning in, Aragona was a man, black man, African-American male, who was selling cigarettes in a portion of an area of New York. And he was harassed, and police knew him by name, supposedly. His wife was on one of the news programs on Sunday, and she said, hey, my husband had a pass. And my point is this. I don't care if a person is guilty 50 times prior, if he's innocent that day and something's wrong, that's a problem. There's a problem with the system. Why? Because according to his wife said, hey, he accepted his time. And whenever he got in trouble, he did his time. Now, my thing is this. I'm not justifying the criminal. You break the law. You should, in fact, pay the penalty. But I do believe that if he was guilty five times, or whoever was guilty five times, and within the situation something happens that's not appropriate that time, we need to talk about that time, because I'm telling you, when you go inside of a courtroom, the judge will rule whether or not those things that happened previously with respect to the case, if it's relevant and if it's admissible. So with respect to that one, I don't like how what we see is when something happens, they say they throw up the record. They say he had a long rap sheet. He was smoking weed. He was doing this and that. And I think that's totally inappropriate to where you just blast it out. But nevertheless, let me finish the point. Aragona, African-American male, was choked out by several police officers. And the foolishness that came out of Peter King's mouth. I mean, I seen people hitting the talking wave said he resisted arrest. Not true. He's told the first officer, don't touch me. But when several other officers came and grabbed him and choked him, he had his hands up. He had his hands up. So I don't understand the mindset of what resist is to some people. I don't get it. I just really don't get it. What the mindset of people when they say he resisted. But nevertheless, they said he resisted. Okay. Even still, if you look at that footage, another police officer came and shoved his knee and shoved his face in the ground. The coroner's report said he died of a homicide. Peter King, it's just troubling to what you're hearing some of these people or hearing what some of these people are saying. Peter King, who is a representative in government representing New York, came out and said, hey, it's his fault. It's Eric Garner's fault that he's dead. Let's see if we can get that footage. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. We're going to listen to this footage from Peter King, and we're going to talk about other politicians who have come out and say, because this man was obese, diabetic, had asthma, it's his fault, he's dead. Not even considering the fact that the coroner's report said he, although these were things he was dealing with, he died of homicide, which was a blockage to the airway, to the air gate. Now, John Stewart, if you heard his commentary on how he's dealt with some of this, it's been amazing. But let's go to this footage from Peter King, which he provided a talking point. He provided a talking point, and you had a lot of other extremely right wing ideologies coming out saying the same thing. Let's go to that particular soundbite from Peter King, and he's referring to Eric Garner. Let's go to that right now.
First of all, the death was tragic, and our hearts have to go out to the Garner family. Having said that, I do not believe, I feel strongly the police officer should not have been indicted. I've been following this case from the start. You had a 350-pound person who was resisting arrest. The police were trying to bring him down as quickly as possible. If he had not had asthma and a heart condition and was so obese, that almost definitely he would not have died from this. The police had no reason to know that he was in serious condition. I know people were saying that he said 11 times or 7 times, I can't breathe. Well, the fact is, if you can't breathe, you can't talk. And if you've ever seen anyone locked up resisting arrest, and I've seen it, and it's been white guys, and they're always saying, you're breaking my arm, you're choking me, you're doing this. So police hear that all the time. They, in this case, a chokehold is not illegal. It is against department regulations. But as you look carefully, I don't think it was an intent to put him in a chokehold because he does move the baton as he brings him down.
Did you all hear that? I mean, it's like he couldn't even get that out. First of all, I'm glad he acknowledged the tragedy. Commend him for that. But I think the level of insensitivity to blame the victim is mind-boggling. This from a guy who said the President Obama should invite Darren Wilson to the White House to have a drink because he did his job. I think, you know, I really believe the problem is when tragedies like this happen, I think when we do not hold individuals accountable, I think it gives them a level of, I can do whatever and get off. I believe it sends a sense of entitlement, and it enables the bad behavior. And I think we need to be careful of what we're saying, because politician, listen, you had George W. Bush said, I don't understand. You had the videotape, and he said, like a politician, I haven't seen everything, and I don't know all the facts. But I mean, it's like the videotape. Now, people are saying they need these body cameras, but for what? Why do they need body cameras? Because if you have videotape and you still can't get an indictment, and remind you, indictment isn't saying this, the individual or the officer or officers are guilty. It's just an indictment to let's go to trial and let's get out as much or pull out as many facts as we can. Now, understanding what we had, what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, with respect to the prosecutors playing bait and switch with the law so that this particular officer could get off. Now, I want to, again, commend the many officers that are out there serving the community and want to go home to their families. We commend those officers who are doing their job. The job is a challenging job, and it's in real time. But I think to handle this man in such aggression, and he didn't have a gun, a knife, a weapon, anything, I think it's very tragic. But with respect to this, we see a lot of people protesting. We've seen protests in Berkeley, California. We've seen protests in Chicago. We've seen protests all over. There was even some protests down here in Miami, Florida, and they were protesting a young man who was killed by a police officer with the tasing for spray painting. Now, you know, I'm just baffled at Peter King's thought process. I really am. I'm just baffled at how he would be so insensitive about that. Now, you got to understand what's happening in Cleveland. Also, a young man, 12 years old, if you haven't seen this footage, he was another young man in Cleveland was also murdered. And I don't know if you've seen that footage, but shout out to my boy Steve, who sent me some good footage regarding what happened with this particular incident. And if you haven't heard, the particular two officers that responded to the call was in previous trouble. In fact, the officer that shot this young man, 12 years old, if you see the footage, they get the boom, within minutes, he's gone. Within minutes, he's gone. I'm going to say something that may seem controversial. When George Zimmerman got off for tragically, in my opinion, murdering Trayvon Martin, a lot of people said Trayvon Martin was wrong. And see the mindset, or you see the vantage point as to how people see things. You got a lot of, I guess I can say, non-black Americans that feel as though it's just clear cut on the tape. But you have a lot of black Americans who feel as though it's clear cut on the tape. And a lot of non-black Americans saying, well, you know, he resisted arrest, or Trayvon Martin was wrong. And I think that's where the problem come in. But again, I don't want to make this a racial issue, because we had a lot of whites, non-whites, people from, I believe, from different color barriers, backgrounds, saying, listen, this isn't right. We need to stop the aggression of policemen. Now, I'm not going to sit here and put policemen on trial, but I'm certainly going to say that the system doesn't work. Now, a young man was killed. Tamir Rice was killed, fatally shot by a police officer, Timothy Lohman, 26, shot Tamir because he had a toy gun. Now, Lohman was dismissed from another police department because they say he does not demonstrate proper restraint when holding a firearm in the gun range. This is what they said. This was from a smaller police department, but yet Cleveland picks him up. Now, you had Eric Holder go down there and say, hey, we're going to monitor some of the policing and give some information or implement some ideas to where policing can be better. If you don't remember, there was a series of young black men that were being killed in Miami, and they were unarmed. And the feds had to come down here and kind of investigate some of those shootings. But I think at the end of the day, I don't believe we need to look as a race of people. We can expect the authorities or the judicial process for assistance, in my opinion. I think as a community, we need to look and see what we can do to change things from that perspective. I think that we need to really reflect and appreciate life. Just yesterday, not too far from where I go to this particular Walmart, a young man was shot, 17. They say he was shot in broad daylight. And the dude was like, a young man was with him, say, hey, that was my dog. The senseless violence needs to stop. That needs to be cut down. Absolutely. That in itself needs to be cut down. But this young man was shot dead, and that's like 3-4 within a short time period, and with no indictments coming down the pipe. Now, there were other headlines with respect to black men being killed and shot. I'm not going to touch that at this moment. I think we have enough to deal with, and I don't want to repeatedly make this a racial issue. But someone gave the the comment, well, what about cameras? If they're getting off with this, if they're getting off like this with the videotape, the cameras won't make a difference. Now, I want to tell you about another story that took place with respect to a police officer having camera footage, and his camera went off. His camera went off. I want to tell you that. I want to take you to that particular footage right now. Officer Jeremy Deere has a history of malfunctioning body camera during his applications on the force. This was reported from the freethoughtproject.com. He shoots a 22-year-old young lady. According to Deere's personal file, in January 2013, he helped break up a downtown brawl. In the process, he did strike a 22-year-old suspect several times in the facial area with a closed fist. A month later, in February 2013, Deere pulled a man over for speeding. The man later filed a citizen's complaint against him talking about excessive force. His camera was malfunctioning during this time. The latest malfunction happened last April when Deere shot and killed a 19-year-old Mary Hawks. Hawks was suspected of auto death. The pursuit ended in the death of Hawks after a foot chase in the early morning hours. So here's a precedent of the cameras going off. And, you know, I just want the process to work. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the attorney generals, the prosecutors, manipulating evidence for people to get off. I just want the process to work so that people of every color, ethnic group, and background can feel as though they're getting due process. That's all I want. That's all I want. Hey, let me know your comments. 321-345-WGGF. 321-345-WGGF. I also want to tell you about a situation that I found very troubling. I want to tell you about a situation I found very troubling with respect to the police officers as well. We're going to get into some sports with some sports players reacting to some of this. LeBron James had, and as well as Derrick Rose and some of the other Cleveland players, wore a shirt saying, "I can't breathe." How do you feel about that? Does it polarize? What do you feel about it? Let me know your comments. 321-345 WGGF. 321-345-9443. Now, what I really think we need some leadership to come down the pipe. If you haven't heard, Al Sharpton is doing another march in Washington. I have my comments on that. A lot of people dislike Brother Al, I'll give my commentary on that. I know we got to take a break. Let me get a couple of these texts in here. I have somebody texting me from Kentucky. Hey, I like Kentucky. Shout out to you. From the footage that I saw, Eric Gardner, it's a tragic death, but he did resist arrest. Again, I don't see how the man resisted arrest. He said, "Don't touch me." And then when those guys swooped in on him, he said, "Okay, he surrendered." And I'm even at that. If you look at one of those officers stuff his knee in his head and push his head in the ground, and most of them were just laying on him, it's troubling. It's troubling. I have another text from New York. We've been experiencing a series of injustices like this. It's time to stand up and take note. Black lives matter. I can cry. I believe not just black life, but all life matters. As I told you, this other young lady was shot dead, okay? And granted, she was in the process of breaking the law. And my point is this, people. I'm not justifying any criminal activity, because I'm telling you, when somebody steals from you, it doesn't feel good. If someone does something against to you with respect to having no regard for it, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. And in some cases, the choices you make can really dictate the moments of your life. I got to take a break. I want to come back and talk about Mayor de Blasio, the mayor of New York, and how he was bumping heads with some of the police association there when they gave the press conference and says, "Hey, we need to put a mayor that's going to stand up for us." But let me tell you why the mayor de Blasio did what he did. We're going to take a break. You're tuning in to What is Truth. I'm your host, Dr. Weech. We'll be right back.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8521. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8521. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8521. 866-657-8521. 866-657-8521.
It's movie night, and you can't find your favorite movie or CD. Did you look online to FYE.com? They have a large selection of DVDs and CDs. Want to step it up? They have your favorite Blu-ray and games. FYE is an entertainment haven. Log on and check them out from our webpage and get the best deal. By doing this, you support us, and they will continue to support us. FYE.com for your movies, CDs, and games. On from the banner link on WGGFradio.com.
From the director of the documentary, We're in the Street, and the producers of the provocative radio show, What is Truth, Third Base 7th Inning Productions presents the documentary series that challenges an entire race, presents history lost from a culture. Head Up Magazine calls it a much-needed lesson for this day and time. Critics call it a compelling look at history, much like Eyes on the Prize. No progress. Coming soon.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-639-8620. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not, it'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car. And as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-639-8620. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-639-8620. That's 1-800-639-8620.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Dr. Weecha, tuned into What is Truth. And the one thing I wanted you to realize is that when you have former President George W. Bush come out and say, I don't understand the verdict. I mean, you had the videotape. Something's wrong. And I want to get back to say, hey, this is not a black or white issue, because we had people of all color protesting. And the one thing I do appreciate is the fact that Eric Garner's mother was like, a white gentleman knew her to be the mother. Say, that's Eric Garner's mother. And she came and hugged him. He came and hugged her. And I think when love prevails, you'll see people getting rank and file and say, hey, this is a travesty of justice, and we're not going to stand for that. And like step manner, if there's an injustice to another race or culture, I would certainly partake and say, hey, enough. You know, this isn't right, and we as a people need to come together and love and appreciate and respect each other. But when you have the former President George W. Bush come out and say, hey, I don't understand this, you know that there is something to be said. And I commend former president. Now, a lot of people didn't like the former president. I don't want to go too much into politics, past politics. But one thing about this guy, George Bush, he would tell you exactly what he's doing, and you're getting exactly what he said. You knew where he was shooting from. This particular president, in my opinion, he's very articulate, but he certainly doesn't follow through. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because I don't believe we can expect federal charges to come out of any of these tragedies. And here's why. You got the current Attorney General Holder, and I was going to save this point for later, but I want to deal with it now. You have the current Attorney General Holder, who was just under fire for the Fast and Furious program. And if you didn't know about that, this was illegal guns popping up in Mexico. where one of those guns was used to kill, I believe, a law enforcement officer. So he had to go before his committee of members to talk about and do some explaining with respect to the Fast and Furious. Now, he got off and he was using privileges, so forth, with respect to that. But I don't think any charges have come out of that. And another reason why I don't think so is because when you trump the law, because remember what Mr. Holder did, the Attorney General, and I'm not taking shots, I'm just telling you what he did, which I thought was totally inappropriate, and it set the precedent of this random, in my opinion, anarchy that's coming up in our society. He trumped due process and the judges when he said, well, you know what, we don't care what the courts decide with respect to same-sex marriage or marriage equality. The federal government recognized it. So he trumped the will of the states, which was a violation, and he even ignored due process because the courts were still trying to figure this out. Now, that just was breakage of the law altogether. So this is why I don't think you will see any federal charges being brought up. Now, remember, I told you last week that when those officers beat up Rodney King, you had George H.W. come out and say, we finna bring them up on federal charges because the videotape speaks for itself. The one thing you realize is that people see things the way they want to see it. And another thing, if you have the media machine pushing the foot on the gas, hitting it hard, saying, hey, well, he resisted arrest, he was overweight, that became a talking point in the news between my white fellow Americans. That became a talking point and a blueprint to say, hey, this is what you say. You just lie to the people, because our politicians lie to us often. Often. Now, you have the mayor of de Blasio saying, coming out strong against this. And you had some people who was really upset with the mayor. But the mayor said, let me tell y'all something. The mayor, he's married to an African-American woman. His son, he has a son who has an afro. And he said, listen, I'm telling you plainly, we told our son, if the police tell you to do something, you do it. And he said plainly that it seems as though African-American men have a target on their bodies, on their backs. So I commend the mayor. He said, hey, I didn't mean any disrespect to the law enforcement officers, but I just said plainly, we taught our son, when police pull you over, you do exactly what they say. Now, in saying that, I'm going to give you a blueprint for every African-American man to navigate out of the judicial system. Don't get in trouble. Abide by the law. Number one, abide by the law. Because you go into the courtroom, statistics show blacks get stiffer sentences. Statistics show. Okay? The one thing, don't do anything to break the law. Follow the law. That's one way to beat the rap. Okay? Follow the law. Because if you go into those courtrooms, it's going to be something serious with videotape or what have you. Now, the funny thing is, the officer didn't get indicted. But the one who shot the footage, he was indicted. And he was saying, man, the police was following me. I knew they was following me. They were harassing me. He wasn't arrested for videotaping. He was arrested for unrelated charges. But he felt as though they were harassing him. And another thing I wonder is, I don't know if you saw those news report when they say police was investigating Mike Brown's father for his comments, which was insane. He can say what he wants to say. He has a freedom of speech. How is he being investigated for his comments? I mean, this is the level of lunacy that takes place, and it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Nevertheless, you had Mike Dicker respond to the five St. Louis players that came out with their hands held up. He said he felt sorry for the St. Louis organization. I respect these players who are silently protesting. Silently protesting. LeBron James is taking some flack, and people are saying, well, he's involved with social issues. I think, for the most part, what we're seeing, if you go and revisit history, during the civil rights era, you had entertainers getting involved. Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, Harry Belafonte was an iconic figure during the civil rights movement. Now, when we look at this historical movement, we're seeing that this is somewhat replaying itself, because the civil rights movement worked where you had different religious leaders come together, people of all races and culture come together. And mind you, I don't know if you saw over there in, I believe it was Italy, they were protesting saying Black Lives Matter. So this thing is just not here in America. It's a hot button issue worldwide. It's a hot button issue worldwide. Please send me your comments. 321-345-9443. 321-945-WGGF. Also, there was some tweets going on. If you didn't know, there was some tweets going on with respect to white privilege. John Stewart is a master at dismantling some of these extremely right-wing commentaries. He's a master. Let's go to some of that right now. I want to go to the tweets right now that after hearing this verdict, people were just responding. I have a tweet indicating, it's good to see Americans just take a righteous indignation to the judicial process. I agree. I really just think this is just boiling over because people are frustrated. Nothing's working. And our president said he would get things working. He would be transparent. I mean, a lot of broken promises. A lot of broken promises. And I don't want to take a shot at the president during this time because we need somebody to pull this country together because it's really falling. It's just an encouraging thing to see many Americans come together and say, hey, enough. Now, you had people doing die-ins. There was some violent protests in Berkeley, California. But for the most part, protests have been peaceful from this point forward. You had some people do some die-ins, hold up traffic. I can tell you, I was on the traffic. I was in the expressway on 985 on last week, Friday. It was just amazing. It was like, what is going on? I had to find an alternate route to get to my destination. But it's just remarkable at the outcry. I mean, you're still hearing some lunacy come from extremely right wing. And let me just tell you this. If you ever been in a leadership position, you notice that supervisors will not come out and say that their understudy or whoever's under them with respect into leadership positions are wrong. So I see the policemen's associations and so forth doing their best to protect their officers. This is what these unions are there for. But I think there's a place when you have to say, hey, we're going to look at what happened. We're going to implement some things to make changes so this tragedy doesn't happen again. Instead, people are coming out condoning the behavior, and that's a problem. I read where the chief of police of New York, the director of police, was saying the morale is down and this and that. We don't want the morale to be down. There's no reason for the morale to be down. The reason people are protesting is because it seems like these officers operate without impunity and feel as though they can do whatever and feel as though they're above the law. We see politicians feel as though they're above the law. Did you see the report recently? It says 50% of the politicians that serve us are millionaires. 50% of politicians that serve us are millionaires. This is why nothing can get done. And it says, while middle class Americans' income went up 5% or something like that, their incomes went up an enormous percent. I think it was 28 or 30%. The criticism is that most of these politicians don't care or they're out of touch with the reality of the average American in this country. I have no problem with politicians making their money, but the rules are skewed and different. And I think people are frustrated as a result of that. I got another text right here. Thank you for texting, sir. Please keep those texts coming. I really appreciate that support. 321-345-WGGF. You hit it on the head, Dr. Weech. There's frustration because nothing seems to be working. I got you. I got another text here. We should really be trying to figure out what we can do better instead of see what we can do better instead of fanning the flames. I agree with that. Recall what I told you after the verdict came out. A lot of people were outraged. And Brother Al is saying we're going to do another march in Washington. I appreciate Brother Al. Some people think he incites and he doesn't come to calm. But another march in Washington, really? I mean, I really do believe we need some new leadership with respect to galvanizing and getting the people together. I really think we need new leadership, not to saying that who we have there unaffected, but I think with respect to getting the attention of certain people, I think you got to revisit history and you got to look at what was done that was effective during that civil rights movement. And what was effective was that bus boycott on Montgomery. That bus boycott, those African-Americans pulled their resources together. They said, you know what? Rosa Parks said, hey, I'm in the seat. Y'all told me I could sit here, but now you're going to tell me I can't sit here? That's what sparked that particular protest. And what they did, they said, we're going to go after that company economically. I think we can march all we want. That's pretty good. It shows the politicians that, hey, these people are upset. But one thing they do, they watch. And recall I told you, Colin Powell says, I feel that the mindsets of many Americans is just short. They're not going to remember what happened to the tragedy, and he's referring to Trayvon Martin. So I think when we come together with a strategic plan to say, you know what, we're going to start not spending our money in these particular areas. And Malcolm X called it nationalism. I'm going to play a clip from that particular speech when he talked about nationalism. But I want to, we really need to revisit these marches. People have already taken to the streets with marches. Now they're looking for something to say, hey, what can we do to get the attention to stop what we feel are senseless murders? Now, again, if you're breaking the law, you know, hey, you know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't feel good to be robbed. People work hard. It doesn't feel good. So, you know, respect to that. Okay. But we have to value life. Now, the president has put together a task force to look at this, and we just have to wait to see what will happen about that. I'm tired of all, what, in my opinion, the rhetoric. There needs to be action, and I'm talking about not violent, forceful action. I'm talking about action that will bring about legitimate change and action that will legitimize the change. All right, so after the verdict, there was a report on Twitter. People started twittering. White Americans who felt there was an injustice done to Mr. Eric Garner, and they were listing their crimes. Say, hey, this is what I did. The police let me off. Here's one. I dined and dash cop found me at the movies. I paid the bill and he left. I was rude but not arrested and not killed. Criming while white. While white is the Twitter hashtag. Another young lady tweets, at 13, I stole a car with my friends and drove it 2 weeks before we got busted. Only one charge was black. Only one charge was black. I mean, I can keep saying it's not a racial issue, but when you look at the statistics, it says this. Here's another one. XL blunt smoking cop's face as I opened my door and then told him he couldn't come in without a warrant. He left. He left. Now, I've said repeatedly, I do not appreciate this law for legalizing marijuana. And I'm telling, if you smoking black men, I encourage you not to. But if you do that, you better not leave your house. And if police come to your door, they're coming in without that warrant. You see? Oh, well, you're trying to make a racial. No, it's the fact. In my opinion, it's a fact. Now, let me give you one more. Got pulled over for doing 16 to 40, got ticket. Girlfriend's dead. A DA made it disappear. Now, again, remember I told you I was listening to some extremely right conservative talk. I was listening to some extremely right conservative talk. And one guy say, police just don't arrest people and do bad things to people. I want you to listen to this report. This is a true story. When someone sent this to me, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. And by the way, let me just mention, if you have some information you want to get to me, you can email it to me at drweech@gmail.com, drweech@gmail.com. Let me tell my fellow Americans. I think a lot of people think blacks cry racism too often. And each individual has to deliberate whether or not that's true within themselves. They have to deliberate whether or not that's true within themselves. It's problematic when you have officers that are above the law. Now, I'm going to go to a story. This young lady, his name is Diamond Milbourne. Diamond Milbourne. And when you hear what happened to this young lady, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. We have to have change, serious change, to where the system works for everyone. We have to have change where the system works for everyone. I have to take a break. I'll be right back.
BiblicalDirect.com is your Bible haven for outreach, specialty, and study Bibles. They have prison ministry study Bibles and Spanish Bibles for your Spanish brothers in Yeshua. Churches looking for a place where you can order Bibles with your church logo? BiblicalDirect.com can meet your needs. Click on the banner from our website, WGGFradio.com. When you support them from our page, you're supporting us. BiblicalDirect.com from WGGFradio.com. Pastors, looking for outreach materials at a competitive rate? Or layperson, are you looking for Bibles and study materials? Log on to ChristianBooks.com for competitive prices. They've been serving the faith-based community for 30 years. There you can find your favorite movies, music, children books, and Bible games. Shop while you're missing on WGGFradio.com. Click the banner from our GGF Radio website. Study to show yourself approved. ChristianBook.com. And faith comes by hearing. Listen to WGGFradio.com. Supporting them is supporting us.
Did you know prayer is important to not only your spiritual well-being, but it can positively affect your physical well-being? Prayer is talking to God, your creator. That's why I want to invite you to join the prayer line every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 a.m. and every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12 p.m. But you don't know how to pray. No formula is more important than doing it regularly, if not daily. Give it a try and call 712-432-1500. That's 712-432-1500 and dial 500-527-pound for the access code. That's 712-432-1500, access code 500-527. That's your keys to get in. We'll be looking for you on the prayer line. See you then. Looking to change yourself for the better? Change takes place in the spirit, mind, and body, and education is key. Tune in to Breaking Bread at 8 p.m. with Dr. Weeks as we educate you and build you up in faith, finances, and family. That's 8 p.m. right here on this network. If you're hungry, it's time to eat. And if you're hungry, let's break bread together. That's 8 p.m. on Wednesday night right here on WGGF Radio Network. We breaking bread.
Nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years.
Welcome back. You're tuned into What Is True. Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Weech. First of all, I wanted you to hear that piece of commentary from Malcolm X talking about nationalism and black nationalism. And basically what he's saying is that we have to take pride within ourselves, where we have, as a people, African-American peoples, learn to do business. I'm not trying to discredit other ethnic groups that do business, but I think it's fine time that we as a people start taking responsibility for being entrepreneurs, being college matriculated, investing 4, 6, 8 years into an education trade, as opposed to 10, 20 life into prison terms and life sentences. And we need to come out of the stereotypical mindset that we have to do time to be accredited to the streets. I think you have to do time respectfully in investing into yourself. And I think I like that message from Minister Malcolm. A lot of people feel very strongly about his message. But I think when you listen to his commentary, he had some very good points. I'm going to also close off with something Dr. King said. I believe we all should listen to or take note, especially those of color. I was talking to you about a story about a Diamond Wilburn. This was a young lady who you won't believe the story. And I pulled this up for the sake of people thinking that some police officers don't go rogue, or the ability or the potential for them to do things and go off the reservation is unheard of, is appalling. I mean, I listen to a lot of shows, and while I'm driving my mom home, she's listening to this particular show. It's driving me insane listening to what he's saying, talking, "I'm a martial arts student, and, you know, it's not a chokehold." The guy said he couldn't breathe. He couldn't breathe. He said it several times, and I believe him. You had a swoop of officers like that. Come on. But I want to go to this particular story right here. Diamond Wilburn, she was a 12-year-old African-American girl. This happened to her. This happened in Galveston. She was home, at her home, when policemen jumped out of the car, started beating her, and kidnapped her. Her parents came out and saw them and said, "Hey, this is my daughter." They mistook her for a prostitute. They said, "That's my daughter." They took her, so now they had a problem. They couldn't just take this girl away like this. This is a true story. Diamond Wilburn, you can check out the blogs, HoustonPress.com. I'm going to see if I can put it on my blog. You can email me if you want it, drweechedy@gmail.com, drweechedy@gmail.com. This is a true story. The police kidnapped her, beat her up in front of a yard for no reason, and this case has been scheduled for a trial in Houston. Watch this. The police officers wanted it dismissed, talking about qualified immunity. This is the true story. They beat this child, 12 years old, because they think she's a prostitute, take her from a home, beat her, and the thing is, they come to the school to arrest her for obstruction of justice. Is that right? They came to the school to arrest her. Now, they were trying to get the case dismissed to say qualified immunity, and it basically means, hey, this is what happened as a result of us doing our job. Judge say no. Judge say no. The issue with that, can you imagine if the judge would have said case dismissed? Qualified immunity? So this is the mindset we're having of some of the police force when they go rogue. Now, I got to mention that I was reading where some white officers were certainly being investigated for the shooting of black men all of a sudden. But I want to tell you about another politician who said some outlandish remarks after Peter King. This is outgoing Missouri House Speaker dodging questions on racial disparity in the justice system. Thank goodness he's leaving. Missouri House Speaker Tim Jones said he agreed with the former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani that the real focus following Ferguson should be on black crime. Look what he says now. He says black elitists are more dangerous than the KKK. Black elitists are more dangerous than the KKK. This is what he said. This is someone in office. And see, my thing is, here's the mindset of people in office. I think that kind of rhetoric is not fruitful or beneficial for anyone. I can have my feelings about non-white America. I'm non-black America. I could say something foolish and hateful. But I think when you're held in office, you're the politicians for everyone. And I think we as a people need to love ourselves. We need to look in the mirror, take a deep breath, and say, are my words going to inflict more hurt into a situation? The mindset of our politicians, he says, black elitists are more dangerous than KKK. Why aren't we talking about black-on-black crime in communities? And I can give you a whole treasure trove of information on that. I can give you a treasure trove of information on that. This is why we're beginning this series called No Progress. You have to look at that documentary series. We have the trailer upload. You got to take a look at that because we're going to be giving a lot of information with respect to history that I think is very relevant and important. I don't think we should be trying to label any race worse than the other, because I think when we check the history of non-black America, looking at how they did other races, it will be just as troubling. As a result of me wanting to bring forth healing, I'm not going to go into that. But Diamond Milburn was a young black girl, 12 years old, and she was beaten by police, scarred. This is a true story. Diamond Milburn. Beaten in front of her home, mistaken for a prostitute, and police, they say, hey, what are you doing to my daughter? Police say, I don't care what she is, to the parents. True story. After they did this, they tried to arrest this child at the school. I mean, it has to stop. There's a racial disparity when it comes to the judicial process. It is. There's no cutting it any which way. Now, I want to go to, I thought I was going to have time to deal with Obamacare. Here's another story I want to talk about to show you the racial undertones in America. We have a school board member. Look what he does. We have a school, the racial undertones in America. I tell you, I tell people Zimmerman, I told a friend of mine, I said Zimmerman showed America how to kill a black man. Because even while Trayvon Martin was walking home, they still said he was wrong for welling on this guy. I'm sure this young man was scared for his life and didn't know what to expect. You see? This is the picture they painted. And this is how they'll do you. You're going to be minding your own business. They'll paint you as to what you're putting on social media. Be very careful what you put on social media. That's for anybody. I don't think anyone should propagate smoking dope. If you do, watch it, because they'll say you smoke dope. That's what they started to say about Mike Brown. That's what they started to say about Trayvon Martin. Secondly, watch out. They're going to look at your record. They're going to look at your record. Be mindful of all of these things. But a Texas school board member put on a Facebook post, a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And he has a KKK in white. This is a Texas school board member. See what I'm saying? The mindset of people we're dealing with here. He puts on Facebook, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And it's a KKK there. And he apologizes. He should lose his job because that's his mindset. And you know, we're talking about the racial progress we made. It's troubling. It's very troubling to what we're seeing and as to what's going on now. I want to talk about this particular Jets player. He was cited as saying some strong comments about police, and they tried to make him back out of his comments. And he said, "Listen, don't take my comments out of context." He says, "I have police officers who are friends of mine." He says, "You listen to what I said." And the one thing I like about what he said, he says, "Me as an individual coming from Ferguson, I need to see how I can help my community to bring about some real change." I think we have people who are influential and who are in position to make a change financially, status wise or whatever. I commend these people speaking out on the injustice. And the troubling thing here is that it seems as though the country, when we thought it was coming together, it seems more polarized than anything. It seems more polarized than anything. I want to take in some more texts. Thank you for coming, bringing them in. 321-345-9443. 321-345-9443. Please send in those texts. One text I have from a viewer. "I think the advice you're giving is right. We need to heal as a country." I do agree with that. I have another text saying, "We should just move forward and get past this and look for real change." I think what we need is leadership above everything else. We need leadership. And I have more texts. I can't get to them because I want to get to this last story. A Jets player, Sheldon Richardson, says he felt helpless. And I'm looking from MSN. He felt helpless as he watched the scenes near his hometown unfold in TV media. He also advocated that burning buildings and looting was not the way. And I can tell you that more than likely these were young people. When you look at the demographics of those from the visual, you can see they were young folks. And, you know, when I was young, there was riots here in Miami. And, you know, a lot of people I know say, "Man, let's go and see what we can get." We were young. We wanted to just go out, see if we can get something for free and loot. Not meaning we, but the people who I knew, some of my friends. And I think as you get older and you become more aware, you see that these are not things and ways you should spend energy. So not condoning it, it's terribly wrong. I think the first thing we need to realize is education is very important. We need to educate our young people. And I think a lot of people are commendable with respect to doing that. I think our government leaders need to follow the law and not defend the ones that they don't defend the ones they like and not defend the ones they don't like. There was another story I wanted to get to show you how one attorney general was not defending the law, which was a pro-gun law. And she said, I'm not defending the law. They had to get an outside firm to defend the law for the state that was on the books. The system is severely broken. And if we continue to have this saying, well, I don't want to do this, without getting someone saying, you better do your job, whether you like it or not, we're going to have some real problems. And it's happening because when you have top brass and this administration say, we're not going to defend the law. Defense of marriage law was on the books. Because you don't like the law, doesn't give you the right not to defend it. And so what do we have? We have chaos in courts. We have anarchy on the bench. And we have executive decisions coming from the White House. And I told you some time ago they were going to rewrite law from the bench or from the White House. Shelby Richardson, expressed his discontent with what he saw. He said he understood the frustration, but this was definitely not a direction to go in. And he got in trouble some time ago when he first saw this particular incident. He said pig. And he clarified those statements. He said, don't get the word pig wrong, said Richardson, wearing a Navy St. Louis cotton sweatshirt. I mean that. Don't take away from my message. So he's saying, see, I said a whole lot of stuff aside from pig. You see, he says, a guy got murdered and got off for it. It's just that simple. It just happened out here in New York. So it's not just in St. Louis. It's pretty bad everywhere now. So much for the justice system. People, it's not black and white. I believe it's a frustration in the system. I've got to go. I want to play this piece from Martin King. You've been tuning in to What is Truth. I'm your host, Dr. Weech. Please stay tuned. We're going to have some changes to the show. It's going to be some additions. I want to thank you for your support. Don't forget to log on to the website, drweech.com. Please look out for that No Progress documentary series that's coming out. Hey, shalom, everybody, and love yourself and love your neighbor. More importantly, put God first.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. And as I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yeah.
You're listening to WGGF Radio. Good news, good music talk radio.